The church's liturgical calendar is a day of commemoration for three musicians of the church, Bach, Schütz, and Handel. Today happens to be the date of Johann Sebastian Bach's death in 1750, July 28th. And so the church lifts up and honors those saints who throughout the ages have proclaimed the gospel in many and various ways to us. And so we honor them tonight with some of the music we'll be singing. Ingrid Christiansen, who's on teaching staff this week, will be preaching. We begin with a hymn in this red ELW. There are a few more copies against the back wall over there if you weren't able to pick one up at the entrance. 876, Let the Whole Creation Cry. It's a harmonization, you'll notice, by Johann Sebastian Bach. Go ahead and give it a try and sing in parts. Stanza 2, the choir will sing. Once again, welcome to worship. You're invited as you're able to stand and sing.
The text tonight is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses. And we were, by nature, children of wrath, like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. We'll hear from the choir. Peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As you all know, the central image of our story, the story of Christianity, is three guys on a cross. All three of them have been given the death penalty, and they are being executed. One of the guys on the side says to the one in the middle, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus says in return, "Today you will be with me in paradise." I work with folks, beloved children of God, whom we, the people of the United States of America, are paying over $1 million apiece to try to kill. Who knew it would cost so much to have the death penalty? It is an expensive indulgence that some states in these hard economic times are deciding they can no longer afford. My job is to learn, to organize thematically, and to explain to the judge and jury the story of the defendant's life. The Supreme Court has ruled that we cannot have a jury imposing the death penalty unless they have been told that story. In the course of events leading up to a trial, typically that takes 2 to 5 years, I come to know the defendants very well. Not surprisingly, and without fail, there are stories of childhood abuse, molestation, neglect, sadness, and disappointment. They come to me as damaged and sorrowful people. What is surprising is the gifts and the kindnesses they bring. When a client of mine arrived at the federal death row at Terre Haute, Indiana, he arrived there with no money to buy toiletries or writing supplies from the commissary. He was surprised to find a steady stream of gifts being dropped by his cell. Every other man on death row gave him something to help him feel welcomed and to supply his needs. Talk about the widow's mite. None of them have anything, yet they all know how terrifying it is to arrive in that place, knowing no one and with nothing. They took care of the new guy. Jesus, remember them when you come into your kingdom. Another client of mine began a listening ministry on her cell block. She listened to so many stories, stories she felt needed to be told. She wrote a play based on these stories and got the women on her cell block to perform the play, telling their own stories. What excitement and joy, and then what dignity and self-respect arose from that project. The other women felt heard and respected and cared about, which for many of them was the first time that had ever happened in their lives. Even some of the guards got excited by this project and arranged for the play to be performed on a number of different tiers around the jail. This defendant, whom we the people are trying to kill, is a serial killer who has been subjected herself to the worst kinds of abuse and torture as a child. And yet she is a loving and gifted mother to her four children and a tremendously creative and uplifting person as she lives out her life in jail. She sings in the church choir, she dances among the praise dancers for church, and she studies her Bible every day. She has asked me for a new Bible. She has heard that there is a Bible which has annotations made specifically for a woman's point of view. I found that Bible and sent it to her. Now she's running a Bible study group. She said, Ingrid, could you send me materials to help me lead a Bible study? And then, do you think God will be mad that we read the Bible together, even though none of us have even finished high school? Later she asked, do you think when God says he loves all people, he means us too? And then, are you sure? Jesus, remember them when you come into your kingdom. An older man who was illiterate asked me for the big book from Narcotics Anonymous and some other materials. He said, so many young men come into jail, murderers all. They need to have an AA or an NA group. Even though he is illiterate and ashamed to admit it, he wanted to give this to them. So now he has others read the books, and he gently leads the younger men into healthier and more self-reflective lives. And Jesus says unto him, today you will be with me in paradise. Story after story, I gather, heartbreak after heartbreak. And yet the gifts of these defendants are what continue to shine through. Are any of these defendants the worst of the worst, as all candidates for the death penalty are supposed to be? I do not think so. But even if any of them were, does Jesus not promise to love them and to redeem them? In our text tonight, we are told that God's love and unbounded forgiveness is not dependent on our good works, but is in fact a gift from God, freely given. Today is a commemoration day for Johann Sebastian Bach, it being the anniversary of his death. We are grateful to all the musicians tonight for the work they put in to play and sing music by Bach. I'm going to tell you one last story. This one about Bach. One evening I stayed very late at the Cook County Jail in Chicago, having been forgotten by the guards in an interview room. We were in the oldest building on the jail campus, over 100 years old, an old style jail with bars and dripping pipes and mice running around. As my client and I were finally being led out, it was quiet on the tier, a rare occurrence in that place. A strange thing occurred in the quiet. It was Jesu joy of man's desiring, being whistled by an inmate. I later learned that that man often whistled a beautiful hymn at bedtime in that place. And yet he too is one of the worst of the worst. We say to Jesus, Jesus, remember us all, everyone, when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus says to that man, and even to us all, today you will be with me in paradise. Amen. We're going to sing the Bach tune, Come With Us, which is number 501.
Let us spend a few moments in prayer with Bach. Loving, gracious, and merciful God, we bow our heads before you this evening, filled with gratitude for the gift of your Son Jesus, the joy of our desiring. We ask you tonight to lead us and guide us, so that we may become the translucent vessels through which that joy may shine in our families and congregations, shine in our communities, shine in our world, shine in our prisons. We ask especially tonight, loving God, to lead us and guide us as we strive to spread at least a portion of that joyful light so that it penetrates the highest prison walls. We confess to you tonight, dear God, that at times we lose sight of Jesus, the joy of our desiring. We lose sight of the light, and that when we do, we often erect sturdy and forbidding walls, prison walls, around ourselves and around others. We ourselves hide behind walls of privacy and protection and the accumulation of endless stuff. And we wall off others by regarding them as deficient and subhuman and alien and not like us. And we consign more than 2 million of our sisters and brothers to live out all or part of their lives behind literal prison walls. Tonight, loving and gracious God, we implore you to guide us back into your light so that we may begin once again the work of tearing down all of these walls. Shine your light on each one of us so that we open up to one another, becoming vulnerable and translucent, so that we appreciate the giftedness and humanity of the stranger, so that we live out your kingdom of sharing and shalom. And finally, loving and gracious God, help us to begin tearing down those literal prison walls. Lead us to recognize and celebrate the gifts, even of those we have condemned. May your light, known to us through your Son Jesus, the joy of our desiring, may that powerful light grow our understanding and compassion, nurture it, and may your light shine most brightly tonight upon those who we have consigned to dark cells, so that they truly may be with you in paradise. We pray in the name of the one who is the joy of all of us. Amen. Go in peace and tear down the prison walls.